flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And yeah, it's a bit of a weird day today. No, Kevin's not out. He's just broken today. Kevin, how do you feel, though, in your soul?
Pretty frustrated, but...
You should get new lungs.
Actually, not lungs. It's the tonsils that is the issue continually.
You don't need new tonsils. You just don't need them.
Yeah, I know.
New tonsils would be a bad thing.
Tonsils are worthless.
Yeah,
they're probably worth something. I don't know what they actually do.
How many parts of the body are worthless? Like you got the appendix you can do without. I've been told the gallbladder you can do without. Tonsils.
Some people text in the Bobby. What? For the morning show?
That's not a part of the body.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a part of the body.
I thought you said a part of the Bobby.
A part of the Bobby.
My mistake.
But there are things that I think you can do without.
For men, we don't need nipples.
That's true. When have you ever, what use has that ever served for you?
Other they than serve a huge use for
aesthetics.
Women.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because of babies.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I'm just trying to decide if I want to engage on this, because then I was going to ask if there should be some sort of like, elective surgery. Also, if you're a woman, you're like, I never want to have kids, and so they take the nipples away from the men and the women.
They take your uterus out. That's how. If you don't want to, I think that's how they do
you don't
it.
You don't necessarily need it in, mm-hmm. in order. I'm not a doctor either, so there are a lot of questions that the doctors out there, 877-881-1053. I know y'all are listening while you're doing your surgery, so go ahead and text in. Let us know the use there. Kevin?
Can I tell you? That's how I knew Jess's C-section was going to be okay, is the doctor, some song came on, and he was like, nope, next one. And then he goes, nope, go to the next one. And then they play the next one. He goes, all right, here we go.
That's how you want to...
That's how I was at ease, and I was like, he is so comfortable with what's happening. He's like, I'm not going to listen to this song. Go to the next one.
Wow. And so which song, do you remember the song specifically?
I don't.
Here Comes the Sun or something like that? Like you made you feel good?
Okay. Super Bowl prop bets. I know we'll probably get into that more in depth next week, but I was really interested. I saw something kind of about the business of Super Bowl prop bets. Ooh. So like... Heads or tails, as you can probably guess, it is an even gambit. But how much do you think people actually bet on heads or tails for the coin flip of Super Bowl? A lot?
I think a lot of people do.
It's an easy bet to throw a dollar on. You know, okay. If you're building a parlay for the Super Bowl specifically, it's something that we put in our pool with the family. The kids all enjoy that game, and that's one of the things. Everybody picks that. So I make a list out of all the things, and everybody can win some money, and everybody picks heads or tails, and it's always fun.
So in Vegas alone, the handle for just that bet for the Super Bowl is low seven figures.
Really?
So, like, obviously that covers a lot of ground, but let's say $3 million. They get $3 million in just Vegas on just the Super Bowl for heads or tails.
That's going to be awesome. And that's divided over Vegas.
Correct.
That's not saying like this one hotel or this one casino.
Correct.
Is that really a huge amount of money for that?
Well, they get 10% of it no matter what. Like, I'm assuming about 50% bet heads, 50% bet tails. I know it could be off by a couple percentage.
And just to show that, the odds for this particular are minus 101 and minus 101. So that's kind of like your built-in.
Okay.
You're not going to get exactly twice your money. You'll get like 99 cents to the dollar kind of thing.
Yeah. But you have to bet 100. I guess you have to bet. Usually, on a regular game, you bet 110 to win 100.
Yeah. And so for this, it would be 101
to win 100.
To get 100. And so that might not seem a lot for Vegas, but then I just told you how many people are doing this. And this is one part of one part of one part of the Super Bowl. So like, they're like, hey, Vegas's ultimate goal is to make it that it is irrelevant what happens in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want equal. That's why people are like, the point spreads, it can be confusing because point spreads actually initially set up to like get equal wagering on both sides, because that's what Vegas wants. It's like, I want you to bet both teams exactly even, so I know that regardless of the result, we win.
We get our 10%.
Exactly.
And if it's even, they're more likely to have people return. Because if it's just losing, 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 people are like, why would I do that? I'm going to lose.
And if you think you're awesome at gambling, and maybe specific people listening right now are.
We all talk about our wins.
But last month, Las Vegas lost money in football gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the last month that happened was?
No clue.
2 months before that?
2012.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It had been 12 years since Vegas posted a loss in football gambling for a month. So, like, whenever we talk about, like, that's why they keep building new casinos and everything. I'm not saying I'm not saying an individual can't be good at this, but, like, if you're like, I'm going to go to Vegas and strike it rich, well, there's a reason.
They are good at it.
Yes.
You are bad at it.
Yes.
They're better than you. And like you said, that's passive income for them. This one right here,
for sure.
Look at that as passive income. Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
They know they can roll that one out and they're going to get $3 million bid on it.
For sure. So the national anthem, about high six figures. So let's guesstimate $750,000, $800,000, about if you go over or under.
Yeah.
For the national anthem. Do you guys have a theory for the first Kendrick Lamar song of halftime show?
I don't know any of his songs.
Oh.
I know I've heard him rap and stuff, but I can't name you like a title of his song or whatever.
I saw The Killers came out and opened their show with Mr. Brightside. That's their biggest song, right? And I was like, that's the way to do it right there. But I feel like, I do feel like Not Like Us is definitely something that he would want to do something with very quickly.
Humble was my go-to.
Money Trees, is that on there?
6-1. Money Trees is fifth on the list.
Okay.
Humble's fourth. Man, it is early in the show.
DNA?
I'm going to go with B, Don't Kill My Vibe.
Okay, gotcha.
Because we just started. Is third. Swimming Pool's a second. And Not Like Us is a heavy favorite.
Makes sense.
But I'm assuming you have to, especially if you have cuss words in a lot of your songs.
Probably.
You probably have to give your list to the NFL and they can mark off ones where they're like, can't do this one, or you can only do this one if
you rearrange it.
Which is tough because, as you can guess, with B, Don't Kill My Vibe, pretty heavy curse words in there. Humble has a ton of what the NFL, I would assume, is inflammatory language to them. So that is actually a great question. But that's another $300,000 gets bet on. What's the first song?
That's a bet right there that I don't understand how more people don't win, because it doesn't feel like a lot of people know. A lot of people should know what that first song is.
Like the tech people and stuff.
Yeah, the tech people, the people performing, the people are just walking around that whenever they're doing that. When does this bet stop?
See, that's a great question because you should probably close it out like a few days before the Super Bowl,
yeah,
right?
Because you got to go do sound checks and all that stuff. You got to get the performance. Everybody needs to know what the run sheet is,
so
the playlist.
I want to ask you what color Gatorade you think. But what I really wanted to get to here is, so this is just in Las Vegas. Low seven figures for the coin toss. High six figures for the national anthem. Low six figures for the first halftime song and mid six figures for Gatorade color. So that's, I know we're guesstimating, but just those four, about $3.5 million gets bet in Vegas alone on just those four. And that literally has nothing to do with the game. Because, like, you've already seen people have been making million-dollar wagers on the game and everything like that. And we'll talk about that. But that's amazing. Just those four. Nothing to do with the game. Millions of dollars.
I feel like last year you were asking something about, like, what the first commercial after halftime would be or something like that.
And then there's another one with how many commercials will you see with dogs? How many commercials will you see with babies?
Yeah.
We'll get to all that. What is your choice of color for the liquid poured on the winning coach?
It's the Chiefs.
I'll go with the green color. I guess, is that yellow or is that green?
I really want the stats from the last few Super Bowls on this because the Chiefs have won it every time.
So the only time...
I wonder how many different flavors they have on the sideline.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like I know in the dugout, you have one flavor and then one water. So the bucket is a one... And they'll try to mix up the different flavors, so... you don't always get red or whatever.
So they kind of have a catch-all with this. Like you said, maybe green. Yellow, green, lime is all lumped together as one, perhaps for that exact reason.
All right, 2020, Kevin, the Chiefs used orange.
Do you know that was the one year, really weird, that Vegas was really invested in this bet? Because a lot of people, I think, bet either purple or yellow because Kobe had just died. And so they were like, hey, if that happens, we're on the hook for quite a bit of money.
Chiefs went orange in 2020.
That's 6-1.
Buccaneers
6-1.
In 21 went blue. Rams in 22 went blue. 23 and 24, the Chiefs both go purple.
Okay, and this might tip you off about who they think is going to win. Purple is a pretty heavy favorite on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it's going to be blue, 8-1 on your money. All right, now let's move to some of the other traditional prop bets. Will a player cry during the national anthem?
Chris Jones.
100%.
Unfortunately, there is not good money to be had unless you think everyone is going to be...
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Stone-faced and steel-hearted.
No way, didn't Sirianni cry 2 years ago,
too? I think that is
so
correct.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, these... it'll get you, you know?
Perhaps, yes, that is true.
Like, now, if you're a crier...
No, I agree.
Like, that, you're probably going to consistently cry in these big moments.
I agree with you. Will Travis Kelce, and you know this is going to be a huge one, propose to Taylor Swift?
No.
No.
Taylor wants nothing to do with marriage.
I don't know about that, but I don't think that she wants. I don't think that she wants it on
She's
that.
Getting
stage.
To the point where it's going to be tough to have a baby too.
I don't think.
But it can be done.
I say orange like that because it was on one of my kids' toys. That's why they said it. So that's why I said orange like
I
that.
I understood.
I just don't. I think Kevin, you've often said this. Don't propose on a holiday.
Agreed.
Don't propose on somebody's birthday. I don't think that he's going. He would do something like that. I would think she would want something special that. You know, maybe revolves around her tour or something.
So if you think he will, that's her. True. That would be amazing. Yeah. Ticket sales are slumping. It's like, will this be the show?
Although she is done with that tour, so she got to start a new one.
And like, really, she's probably fine.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, we're not selling in, I don't know, whatever. And she's like, who cares?
Yeah.
I have all the money in the world.
Plus, they got to have a prenup discussion, obviously.
Yeah, she needs to have a prenup discussion. He needs to keep his mouth shut and hope it doesn't come up. So Travis Kelce, he does. Travis Kelce, if he does propose 5-1 on your money, do you think they will show Taylor Swift during the national anthem?
No. I don't even know who's singing it.
You know, I really dropped the ball on this.
Okay.
Mike, I should know.
I just think that they don't want to take away. It's on Fox this year. Is that right?
John Batiste. He is from New Orleans. So,
good
I'm sorry. Yeah,
wrestler
National Anthem.
Too, right? Batista?
Yeah, no.
And he was not a good
dude. I played with him too. Tony Batista, wide open stance.
A different guy, Mike. He's a fantastic piano player. He's the one that did the entire soundtrack live for that show, the movie Saturday Night.
Oh,
he's the
yeah,
one that,
okay.
that did that while they were doing it. He did no,
no that's
Travolta.
Saturday Night Fever.
And then Trombone Shorty is going to be doing Lift Every Voice and Sing. I love Trombone Shorty, by the way.
I don't think they would do that because that would be taking away from the artist
okay.
singing at the time.
Gotcha.
So they'll show Taylor Swift in Kansas City Chiefs moments or, you know, something like that. But I don't think
when Travis gets his first
like
catch.
If you're the producer, director, you're going to be like, look, we know where she's sitting. We know when to go to her, but we're not going. To
right, overdo it.
Yeah, we're not going to show her. Like maybe they would show her dancing during Kendrick half-time. Lamar's halftime thing. Just give
I
a quick
see
deal
that.
Of like
yeah.
her enjoying it to be like she's a fan of Kendrick Lamar.
I could see
and
that.
And I do think she's powerful enough to tell them when to show her in these moments.
Yeah, I can see Travis's first catch. Anytime he catches a touchdown. Other than that, what's the point in going to that?
Okay, I'll give you a couple more.
Unless she's sitting in the box with his mom, then that might be that she might just be shrapnel there.
Okay, what
side crossfire?
Lateral damage.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, let's. I'll save these other prop bets for another time. So go right ahead.
No, that was I like that, man. That was really. Did you want to update on Miro real quick, or do you want to?
Oh, I mean, the update is he might need. The last I heard is he might need surgery, but they don't think he's going to be out for the year. Is that still accurate?
I believe that's the last thing I heard too. Okay. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, 11-time world champion, WWE Hall of Famer, and AEW superstar Adam Copeland, aka Cope, joins the show next on the Fan.
Here he goes.
There it is, and here he is, 11-time world champion and AEW superstar, Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Cope, joins the show. How's it going today, Cope?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good, and I hope you understand why this question would come up, and maybe you can commiserate with us. We're the flagship station of the Dallas Cowboys, and a lot of sports misery has come along with that for a really long time. Is your favorite hockey team essentially the NHL version of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, and the Yankees, and except the Yankees win a lot. maybe the Red Sox is a better analogy. But yeah, it can be tough to be a fan at times just because I mean, you guys at least had the 90s. Our last championship was 67.
Oh, man.
So you didn't even get to see it. You just have to hear people talk about it.
I wasn't even born, and I'm 51. So do the math on that, right?
That is a tough one.
It can be tough at times, but no matter what, I will be a tried and true, bleeding the blue and white, and I watch every game of the season, all 82 of them. Even if we got a show, I'll wait, get back to the hotel, watch the replay. Like, I'm that guy.
So I have one more hockey question, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Do you know every single season now that y'all aren't going to win the Stanley Cup because Canadian teams don't win the Stanley Cup anymore?
Yeah, right. I know. And it's like, mind you, like the Dallas Stars are all finished. So
I try to ignore that fact. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yep. So and generally speaking, like when I see, I don't know, the Panthers win and like 92% of their players are Canadian, I'm like, guys, just. Can you maybe join the Leafs for a season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we're talking with Adam Copeland right here on 105.3 The Fan. July 12th, all in, Globe Life Field in Arlington. You can go get your tickets, allelitewrestling.com or Ticketmaster. I'm curious of a logistical thing about wrestling, because I heard you talk about this once before. How different is it to wrestle in a stadium or a dome versus like an arena? Because I've heard you talk about like the TLC 2 match at WrestleMania 17. Can you walk us through, like, as you're competing, how different that can be?
Yeah, it really is. And it was that match in Houston, the TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17, that really opened my ears, I guess, to that. Because up until that point, I had never wrestled in some kind of dome or stadium or anything. And I remember during that match was thinking, man, crowd's okay, but it's not like it would be usually, right? So we watch it back and we realize they were going nuts. It was just the sound has to go up because it doesn't come at you because it's so cavernous, right? So it can go up, and if it's an outdoor stadium, it can go out. Whereas with arenas, it just comes directly at you. There's nowhere else for the sound to go. So that was just an adjustment as a performer going, okay, it's all right. There's just going to be a little bit of delay here as to when you'll get the actual reactions, which can make it more difficult because with what we do, we feed off of reaction. That's how we know if what we're putting out there is being picked up. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting challenge, but also give me a baseball or football stadium any day of the week and to be able to perform that. That's an amazing, amazing thing.
So I don't know how much you go back and look at your old matches or anything, but is there anything that pops to mind in your head that you're like, I had a better match because I knew the crowd was losing their mind already? Or do you look back at it and you're like, I feel like we could have done better. I lost a little of my steam because the crowd was, you know, not apathetic, but maybe not all the way there.
I mean, I don't really go back and watch stuff. I usually just, I lived it and right. I experienced it and I heard the audience, and that's how I gauge everything. Like, I don't worry about social media. I don't worry about reactions from that because it's generally a lot of really jaded people who need to like watch sunsets. But for me, I get my feedback from the audience there. So that's why, again, a stadium can be difficult because, like with TLC 2, we just thought maybe they weren't there. Maybe we're just, you know, crap in the bed. I don't know. It didn't feel like we were. And then you watch back and you realize. So there are matches that happened during the pandemic when there was no audience that I really wish were in front of an audience when I was still with WWE. But there was also a global pandemic, and you just got to roll with it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I expect in Arlington, you know, the crowd to be insane, because if there's one thing AEW brings to the table amongst multiple other things, it's that our pay-per-views are nobody can touch them.
For sure.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We got Adam Copeland, the Rated R superstar, joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I've always been curious about this. The music hits, you walk out, the pop happens, you stand there and you take in the arena, you take in the facility. How much of that is for you and how much of that is for the audience?
I think it's both, yeah. And I think that's why it's worked. I think we're both kind of having fun with this thing. It becomes this kind of communal experience together, right? I want my entrance to pull the audience in. And it was Michael Hayes who actually told me, he goes, the more you give them on your entrance, the more you'll get back. Ooh. And that was such an eye-opener for me, because the minute I did it, I went, oh, man, they just reacted that much more. They were waiting for me to like give them all the energy that I got in me. And when that music hits and I come flying out that curtain, man, I could chew through concrete. Like, let's go. And now that I throw it at them, they throw it back. And it becomes this really cool thing. You know, I equate it kind of like, to, I guess, a concert. And, you know, when an audience sings back the lyrics of a band or a song, and kind of that, now we're all in the same place together and we're experiencing this thing together. That to me is what the live experience of wrestling, of a sporting event, of, you know, theater, of, you know, a concert is. It's that place to go and experience it with other people, to cheer together, to laugh together, to boo together, to experience together.
So, Cope, we're headed to New Orleans next week for Radio Row and the Super Bowl, and we've got to interview some pretty special people there. I'm sure you've got to meet a lot of people throughout your career. Is there somebody that you haven't met that you would love to meet? And then another question is somebody met you that you're like, with their status, I can't believe they're that excited to meet me?
So, Paul McCartney or Ringo Starr? Like,
yeah.
If you can meet a Beatle, come on. You know, that for me would be one of those. I have a feeling I wouldn't really know what to do with my hands. I'd be Ricky Bobby. Like,
yeah.
What do I say? And I just start drooling or something, you know? So that would be like two people I would love to just sit down and have a coffee with and just, I don't know, compare stories. And theirs would be far cooler than mine, but still it'd just be a blast. In terms of people, that I've met, I mean, I think you run into like either musicians or actors or other athletes, and sometimes that can be kind of surprising, you know, just because you don't really assume that maybe they have the time to watch television,
right?
You know, because I know how little time I have to watch it, so you know, it's funny when you meet somebody like a Dave Grohl or a James Hetfield and they, you know, like, hey, I'm Adam. And they're like, yeah, I know who you are. Like, oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
It's still nice that you introduce yourself, though.
I'm Adam.
I still think that's nice. Now, I know we're gearing up talking about All In July 12th, but I did want to bring up the WWE for a second just because of we're about to hit the Royal Rumble 5 years ago. You came back in the Royal Rumble and everybody, including myself, lost their damn minds. What have the last 5 years been like for you, maybe professionally, but more importantly, personally, getting to go back into something and do something that you thought was done for good?
Well, I think it's all a bonus. That's how I've categorized this whole thing. The minute I stepped out at that Rumble in Houston, it was all extra. You know what I mean? Because in that first run that I had, I accomplished everything I had set out to accomplish, but I didn't get to end my career on my terms. So that was really the last box to check. And when I got clearance to come back, I was, well, okay, here we go. Let's see how long I can run this. And here we are 5 years later. And I think for me, I'm all about challenges, right? That's what lights me up is the challenge. And the challenge to get back to doing this when I was told I could never do it again, the challenge to get back to doing this with injuries that no one has ever come back from to wrestle again. Those for me are the things that I was like, okay, let's knock those boundaries away. Let's just get them out of the way. And then to get back, have my time with WWE, get some of the matchups I wanted to get done there, and then come to AEW where there's an entire roster of fresh faces that I've never created with. That to me was super exciting. You know, and I look at our roster and I look at guys like Swerve Strickland. I look at Hangman Adam Page and I look at MJF and I look at Kenny Omega. I look at Will Ospreay. I look at Samoa Joe. I look like all of these matches have never happened. And that for me is the other challenge. It's like, okay, I am 51 years old. I know I'm in the tail end of this thing. Can I still get in there and go with a Will Ospreay? That's a challenge. That's a massive challenge. And at some point here, I'm going to have to answer that challenge.
Is the Rumble more logistically complicated than any other match that you have? Because like, hey, I'm coming in at this time. I need to watch other people know when I'm going to go out. Like, is that,
No, I think more than anything, it was always the TLC matches, especially when you get multiple bodies in there. You know, you get the Dudley's, Hardys, and Edge and Christian, and there was just so much out of your control because you're dealing with tables, you're dealing with ladders, you're dealing with all of these things that really you don't have control over. And they are just ladders from Home Depot, and they are just tables from, you know, so you're dealing with that. That to me are always a little more precarious, far more dangerous. And that is what it boils down to for me. It's like logistically the ones that are the most dangerous are for me, the toughest.
My son and I, we burned through the Flash a few years ago and saw you as Adam Smasher. That was awesome. But then I recently watched by myself. I watched the Percy Jackson series and I loved it. You were fantastic as Ares, and I was very curious on how that kind of thing comes about. Were you always interested in acting? I know you're a performer as a wrestler, but was acting and being on the screen a thing for you?
It was never a thing for me, honestly. My whole thing from the time I was 10 years old and I first saw Roddy Piper was, I'm going to be a wrestler. And when I was 17 and beginning my wrestling training, I'm still saying that. I think that's when, you know, my mom up until that point was like, yeah, okay, go for it. But when I actually started, she was like, okay, this kid's going to do this. Go for it, kid. That was always the plan. Right. So when I had to retire, when I was forced to retire back in 2011, I didn't know what was next. Mm. And it just so happens that a show called Haven, the executive producers were watching the promo where I retired from the only thing I ever wanted to do for my entire adult life. And they went, whoa, that guy just made us cry. Can we get him as a tie-in to our show? Because SmackDown led into it. One episode turned into 41, and in the midst of that, I realized, wow, this acting thing's pretty awesome, and it still kind of tapped that vein, that performance, that storytelling, that it just didn't have that instant reaction to gauge whether what you're doing is working or not. So I had to get used to that, and I had to get used to, you know, pulling back my facial expressions, because with wrestling, it's bigger, it's larger than life. With acting, especially when they get, you know, cameras in your face to where you can see your nose hairs twitch, you got to be careful with what you do with your face. You don't pull wrestling faces. So there were challenges there. Once again, I love challenges. So it was a challenge to bring my things down, make them more centered, and then see where it could go. Now, if you had told me I would have ended up on The Flash and on Vikings and then end up on, you know, one of Disney's biggest shows and nominated for an Emmy for it.
Yeah.
No, not happening. But here we are.
And all along the way with hopefully less people hitting you with ladders. So that's a bonus.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that in my next contract. No ladders.
Now, you talked about it. And for people who know the product, they know that AEW pay-per-views are unbelievable. You get about 4 hours and it's loaded up. But speak to the people who are listening right now in the DFW who have maybe probably been to Globe Life Field a whole lot for Rangers games. Why should they come check out AEW if maybe they're not as familiar with y'all's product?
Well, I think so. What wrestling is in general is a melting pot of everything, right? So there's music, there's explosions, there's storylines, there's drama, there's comedy, there's take your pick of an emotion, and it's baked in there, which is what drew me to it. With AEW, you have this roster of a lot of really young, talented people, and some of the guys and girls do stuff where I just go, wait, how is that even possible? Like, I can't even wrap my mind around how that's being done right now. And that's a change in the industry, because it used to be a lot of really, really, really massive individuals who didn't do quite as much, you know, and they relied more on the larger than life aspect, which is great. Now it's become much more of an athletic demonstration. Mm-hmm. It's just insane to me what some of these guys and girls do. So you have a roster full of really young, hungry, up and coming talents that will carry AEW going forward. And then you have, you know, some seasoned veterans like Omega and guys like that who is still just firing on every cylinder possible. And then you have guys like myself, like Christian, like Dustin Rhodes, Jeff Jarrett, Chris Jericho, guys who have been around this industry 30 years and upwards who can still be there to lend advice or have asked, hey, this is what I think. Give it a shot, see what you think, or don't. Up to you. it's really a roster that covers all the bases.
When we talk to Tony Khan at the Super Bowl next week, I'll tell you, tell him that you closed out with give it a shot or don't. I'm just kidding.
Not our pay-per-view. You give that a shot. I need the talent.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. July 12th, All In. It is All Elite Wrestling's first ever stadium show in the United States. It's going to be at Globe Life Field. Go to alleliterestling.com to get tickets, get the link, or further information. Man, thank you very much for jumping on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
That was awesome, dude. He's fantastic, man. I really enjoyed talking to him. I hope we get to do that more in the future. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Mike, where are we headed?
Well, a Ranger just signs a deal with another team. Next.
Oh.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Okay, let me get to the tees. Max Scherzer signs with the Toronto Blue Jays on a one-year $15.5 million deal. I'm shocked he got $15.5
That is crazy.
Million dollars, and there might be a few more dollars in there for like possible incentives. But watching Max Scherzer pitch last year, I get his numbers weren't bad in his limited time to pitch. An ERA that was just under 4, you'll take that from
sure.
At $15.5 million, that's about what you pay for a guy that has an ERA about below 4. I hate saying this because I love the guy. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
You think he's done?
I do. I just don't think he can give you. Yeah. I will be shocked.
We saw it.
If he starts over 15 games. So you're paying probably more than $1 million per start. And what he has in the tank isn't much.
Yeah. Now, the amount of an injury could pop up at any time.
Maybe there's a leadership role that they really like from
that's
this
a lot
too.
To pay for that.
Right. I just, because you know what Evaldi brings to the table, $25 million. Yeah, you're paying approximately $1 million a start, but Evaldi the last 2 years still looks like a really good big league pitcher and a guy who just recently carried a team to a championship when he took the mound every time.
Yeah.
I look at Max Scherzer and I go, hey man, I wish him the best of luck. I loved talking to him. I loved it. But he just you never knew if he was going to make his start every fifth or sixth day, and usually he didn't. So I just look at the year and a half the Rangers had him, and unfortunately he just wasn't ever healthy enough to really give you what
and it was
hoped.
A disappointment because of that.
Yeah. Injuries plagued every start he had, right? Like we never saw a real like version it. Of him. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it felt like it. I mean, remember there's the big matchup when we traded for him and it was a month into it and you're trying to hold off the Astros and it's Verlander versus Scherzer and immediately in that game he gets hit and hurt.
Yeah.
Not hit by a pitch or hit by a comebacker. It was just that he was getting hit hard in the game and then he had to come out and then you're like, we don't even know if he's going to be available for the playoffs.
Yeah, I do.
He did. He pitched a little bit in the playoffs, and he got hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah, I will say in that playoffs, like there was the excitement about it, and there was I felt like there was a confidence in, man, if I can get 3 innings out of him, I feel pretty good. You know, it felt like, hey, it's a guy that knows it. He's experienced it. At least everybody can see what he's doing.
I will give Bruce Bochy a lot of credit for getting something out of Scherzer in that playoff run and then taking him out of games where you're like, it is Max Scherzer. You're not going to let him get out of this situation? And he's like, nope. And he was usually right about putting in somebody else to get out of a situation.
Right. And we may have gotten one of the most glorious celebration photos ever in that picture. I'll pull it up. It's a picture of him celebrating in the clubhouse and he's just got champagne all over his face and he's like and I mean that's Max.
Okay, so now we move to current Texas Rangers and the countdown is on for MLB.com's top 100 right now. So they've done the top 10 at each position.
Yep.
Now we're doing the top 100 right now. And at number 100, he hasn't even played a single second in the major leagues. It's Roky Sasaki.
Man,
already, huh? Yeah.
Is Yamamoto on this? I guess the whole list is not out yet.
It's just 81 through 100. And so if I go to players, he's not on 1 through 81 or 100 through 81. But at number 99... could he be in the top 10 after this season?
Roky? Wyatt Langford.
Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So no rank last year. He is ranked number 99. Obviously, I was looking at, I'm sorry, I don't have it pulled up, but it was going off of, I can't remember if it was fan graphs or whatever. You know, you're predicting what they're going to do numbers-wise. And look, if he stays healthy the whole year, they will not pitch him every fifth game. They just won't. But if he's healthy all year, he will get, let's say, 27 starts. And I do think 27 healthy starts from Jacob DeGrom is enough for him to possibly win the Cy Young.
Absolutely. His ability alone. I am kind of curious, though, any soreness? Like, is that immediate? Hey, is he that guy that they're going to just treat with white gloves the whole time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would assume so. You're asking a good question. I don't know. At this point, you paid 5 years for premium, yeah, and you are on year three. I'm not saying you take the gloves off, because you still have, after this year, two more years to pay him. So I'm sure they're going to be careful, but I don't know how careful, okay, if that makes sense. I mean, the hope is after the major surgery and he came back and was able to finish the 2024 season with no issues, is that you go into 2025, and I'm assuming he's your opening day starter. You could use Eovaldi as opening day, but I'm going to assume it's Jacob DeGrom, and you're hoping from that point on you have very minimal things to deal with, because he did have the reconstruction again for the most part. It was a different surgery, we went over it, than what you'd consider Tommy John, but it was a Tommy John-like surgery, to make it simple. For, like, if you're just listening, it was an elbow surgery.
Yeah.
They just tried to do it a different way, where they think there's innovation in
that
Tommy
story.
John surgery, I believe somewhat first used here on Jacob DeGrom.
Yes. So,
okay. Number 97 is another Texas Ranger, and I expect him to be in the top 50 for the 2026 rankings, and that is Wyatt Langford. So you have two guys so far that have been ranked, Jacob DeGrom and Wyatt Langford, who I do expect big years from. If the Rangers are going to make the playoffs, both these guys have to have big years.
Agreed.
I get you got away with Jacob DeGrom doing very little. He pitched 1 month for you in 2023, won the championship. If Jacob DeGrom pitches 1 or 2 or 3 months for you this year, I don't expect you to make the playoffs. Again, I like the depth of the Rangers, but I just can't imagine that Jacob DeGrom makes 12 starts for you and you still won 90 games.
Yeah.
He's going to have to make it, I'd say, at least 20 starts for you.
Okay.
So my over-under, I think we've kind of talked about it, whether you want to make it 20.5 or 24.5, somewhere between that 20 and 25 start range, I would be very happy with. Anything over 25 is just, you're going to have a Cy Young candidate. You're going to literally have, possibly for the first time ever, a Texas Ranger win a Cy Young. Wyatt Langford, I talked about him yesterday quite a bit. I expect really, really special things from him. And I'm just going to tell you this, a guy who I've really liked the second half of last year is ranked 90 overall, and it's not a Texas Ranger. It's Lawrence Butler of now just the Athletics.
Are they only going to have two more people on this list?
I think three. That's a good question.
Who are the three?
Seager, Semien, and Eovaldi. If Jacob DeGrom's on this list, I think Eovaldi will make the list.
So, and here's why I asked the question, because I double-checked last year. He was 91 last year, and okay, I thought he was amazing going into that. So
maybe you're right.
I wonder if he's like just missed or whatever.
I'm looking at the highest ranked pitcher so far would be at 87, Bryce Miller of the Mariners. He is a very good starting pitcher. Justin Steele of the Cubs is 88. So to your point, after what he did in the World Series, and only being what you're saying is 91, maybe he won't. So maybe there is only two other players. Like, I'll say this. We know that Semien and Seager are going to be on this list.
Sure.
Seager probably being a top 20 player.
Last year he was 6. I realize that's not feasible again.
Right. But and then Semien will probably be, after his year, I would expect him to be on the next list, and that would be somewhere between 61 and 80.
I was going to ask if the 60s.
I'm hoping that also maybe Eovaldi. But in a way, I've always said this. You need 5 guys on this list for me to be a true World Series competitor. I get that it's way more of a team sport. I can't have, when he's totally healthy, I can't have Mike Trout bat 16 times in a game. It's not like basketball where I can keep giving the ball to my best player. He has a chance to impact the game four times from an offensive situation. So that's why it's such a team sport. But I'm hoping that Evaldi makes it, but you just maybe made me think he won't.
That's the only reason I brought it up.
I'm glad you gave me that information. I did not have where he was last year on the list.
Pretty disappointed in that you brought this up.
I'm sorry. He'll be on the list for sure.
Okay. All right.
But see, then when he's not on the list, you're going to yell at me.
I'm going to be like, you got my hopes up, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Mike, is that all you got there? Because Josh Jung didn't make it?
He played four healthy games last year. And I'm not making, like, he played four healthy. He came back and he was still hurt. And then they're like, it's just not healthy.
One day we're going to get Max.
Feels like he didn't make it.
Yes. Coming up next year on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for NFL overreaction or reality. Next on The Fan.